Great work, Rob. Great work. See if you can read this. You're fired. And in case your ears are f***ed, get the f*** out! And the next person I see juggling, tap dancing, or baton twirling, or doing any other circus-like tricks will join him, all right? One-strike policy applies. Now get back to work! Damn, that felt good.
Welcome to Talking Giants, presented by John Boy Media. I'm your host, Bobby Skinner, with my co-host, Justin Penick. This is going to be a long show. I mean, you see the time when you press play, but this is going to be a long show because, one, it's supposed to be a mailbag voicemail, which usually takes up a full hour, and then the Giants fired Mark Colombo, which we have a ton to. We have to read off like a million Patreons. I mean, how are you doing, Justin? I mean, let's keep the banter to a minimum. I mean, people are here to hear about the New York Football Giants.
Slow day. Pretty slow day. When I, had to deliver some groceries to my grandmother, pretty slow day. Had off from work. How are you?
You know me, man. When stuff like this happens, I my mind like starts spinning at a million miles an hour. It's like, all right, let me clip these videos and do this research and put together this YouTube video. Like, you know me. Whenever this happens, like when Joe Judge was making his hires and when you were first started working with me, I go at a million miles an hour when this type of stuff happens, trying to put out tweets and put out content. It's like, I just am like, someone else is, if I don't do it, someone else is going to do it.
But I thought it was a regular news day. Didn't really think anything special happened.
Stop it.
Not really.
Stop it. All right. Before we get into this episode, Justin, this episode was brought to you by, and I'm going to have to go quick through this. I'm sorry that we can't spend a lot of time on this. Just Steve. The first one, his name is just Steve.
Oh.
And we got Giants Roddy Piper. Pipe me down.
From Scotland.
Scotland. And we got Joseph Moyoyoyo. Joseph. I'm going to call you Joe. Renato Parente. I thought that was your friend, Renato. This Renato's from Brazil. He actually gave a 250% donation, which is cool.
Wow. Thank you.
Clayton Harding, which is about as wide of a name as you can get. It's like, oh, what's up, Clayton? Like, all my friends that I ever had met at that name were Clayton, were white. This one, I don't think this is his real name. It's Trickle Down Saponomics.
Yeah. Totally. With it.
That's what Skinner Panic 2020 is for. I don't know what it is, but you got Benjamin Skolozdra. Jack Keating, another white name. Bobby Broadway, probably loves the O-line content more than anybody. Like, he tweets at me about, like, hey, what do you think about this offensive line? He loves the O-line content. And he's got a great name. Best name out of anybody on this list.
Alliteration.
Andy Augstell. Dan Quigley, which reminds me of Dan Quinn. Mike Wicks. Wicks of the Firecracker.
That's a fun name. That's a very fun name.
It's all right. Got Kevin Sesvilisak. Connor Burns, Devin Martinez, Blake Martinez is that's actually his younger brother, so it's cool that he's a supporter of the show.
Friend of the program.
Liam Sheehan, Ben Butler. Ben is from the United Kingdom.
Another alliteration. Love that.
And then Michael Kleisler. Who are these thugs?
Wow. They're goons 1 week, they're thugs another week.
They're getting worse.
They're getting worse. There's more of them. Stop them. Stop all these thugs that are subscribing to...
Oh, Clayton Bigsby? No, Chappelle's show was back on... it's on Netflix. I went...
Right.
Over the weekend, I went and rewatched the whole series. I mean, it's only two seasons, but still.
But stop these terrible people and be a part of these terrible people by going to patreon.com/talkinggiants to give $2 a month to support us, plus get some awesome perks like watching us record the shows live as we record them, especially after our wins, which we've been winning lately. You also get some behind-the-scenes perks, shirts, things, so it's fun, and you support us. Thank you. This is the most patrons that we've had in between episodes. So thank you so much. Thank you for the ratings too. This week has kind of been bananas for us.
No more ratings. Yeah, do not leave a rating or review. We had way too many this week.
Too much. It looks suspicious.
It really does.
No, but thank you so much, Bobby. Let's get to the slight kind of new boring news that happened today. Kreider and Riley Dixon on the COVID list. Let's talk about that first.
No. DeAndre Baker, we're not even, I was planning on talking about DeAndre Baker. We don't have time to talk about Baker. We've said everything we've said on that. Here's my view. You give people second chances. A lot of people like to be woke on Twitter about being woke, but when it comes to push the shove, they're like, get this guy out of here. Anyways, moving on. Don't go woke, go not broke. I'm trying to think of something that rhymes with it.
Now, well, you saying that you're not woke is woke, so... Let's talk about the main piece of news now.
I'm so not woke that I'm woke. This is tripping me out, man.
Yeah.
This is freaking me out, man. I just anyways. All right, moving on, because I'm gonna get myself in trouble with people. All right. The Giants fired Mark Colombo. Or Joe Judge fired Mark Colombo.
Whoa.
more so. So most people know what's going on, but let's give a quick synopsis of what happened. Joe Judge in the offseason. The O-line coach position was between Mark Colombo and Dave DeGuglielmo. The Giants went Mark Colombo, who, you know, obviously worked with Jason Garrett in Dallas. Now, Mike Garafolo comes out today and says, before this happens, or he probably knew it was going to happen, like, hey, Joe Judge has been working with the O-line the last 3 weeks. He's been spending practices with the O-line, working with the O-line. The O-line's been improved, and we have the numbers and the eye test to back that up. So, Joe Judge can't spend the whole season with the O-line coach. He brings in Coach Googe is what they call him. So, Coach Googe, he's going to come in, and he's just going to be an assistant. You know, he's going to be a special assistant. Mark Colombo sees the writing on the wall because Mark Colombo was one of two coaches, him and Jason Garrett, who had no connection with Joe Judge. Flips out on him, said some type of word. According to Kim Jones, I think it was Jive Turkey. Got into a huge argument. Some people said they fought. That's not true, according to everyone who's reliable.
Was there some kind of altercation of words?
Yeah.
Is that confirmed?
Yes. I forget what the guy's name. Oh, Jason McIntyre said they got into a fist fight. And then so did, like, two other random people. Anyways.
That would be cool.
I wouldn't panic at that. Like, what's going on? Like, you know, they fired him. So Mark Colombo's fired, and Joe Judge has been working with the offensive line for the past three games. And that has when we have seen an improvement in this offensive line, in the run game, and with Andrew Thomas. I have a page full of notes, Justin, but let me send it to you. I mean, what are your thoughts on all this?
So my overall thoughts is it's a welcome sign that an organization – it sensed a way that they can improve, and they didn't hesitate to do it. Now, obviously, it kind of does suck that we do lose an offensive line coach who had a lot of promise. You know, Mark Colombo is, you know, before this offseason, we were talking Mark Colombo as one of the next Bill Callahans, as being just such a bright mind for offensive line and developing these guys. And you look at the pedigree of how guys in Dallas have developed over the years and, you know, how good of a run game that they've had and et cetera, and how long their quarterbacks have had to throw the ball. But what an ego. What an ego he had to have for a guy to come in. You know, Dave Guglielmo, you know, the proposal was is that he would, you know, they would basically be coaching the offensive line together. What an ego you have to have as, I mean, you know, Colombo's a young coach. He's still not, I feel like he's still not an established...
He's not. He's, you know, he's brand new. He's been coaching for 2.5 years.
Yeah. You know, just because you're seen as a guy who's up and coming and you're seen as a young, bright mind, what an ego you have to have, especially now that it's confirmed that there was some sort of, you know, altercation with words. What an ego you have to have. You know, and DeGuglielmo has a very impressive resume. So it's not like they're bringing in another scrub to help him out.
Yeah.
They're bringing in a guy with another impressive resume that has way more experience than Colombo does to help him out, and he flipped out. So good on the Giants. Again, you know, my main thought is good on the Giants organization for sensing that there is a way to improve and jumping on it and not hesitating.
Yeah,
with it.
I agree. Good. I know people have, like, totally fallen in love with Joe Judge, where I've I've been just kind of checking myself to not, you know, drink, you know, the Kool-Aid quick. But I like Joe Judge a lot more today than I did yesterday because of this. And like you said, and I agree, like, I can be in hothead, but that is surprising for Colombo to do that. Like you said, he's brand new in the coaching business. This is a business where you get fired. You get even, like, the especially a position coach, because, you know, people move on, you just get fired. You get fired. Like, so the best position coaches get fired. The best coordinators get fired. It happens. And he wasn't even fired. It was just, I guess, you know, he did see the, if he saw the writing on the wall, he could have resigned. I don't know. I don't want to get too much into the, like, how could he, like, throw a fit like this? Because at the same time, like, I'm a big believer, like, you should argue in the workplace. You know, supposedly it got way, you know, more heated. Like, I mean, on a lighter note, I mean, me and you, Justin, me and you can, like, there's times, it's not often, but there's times where me and you will be on the phone for 15 minutes going back and forth fighting. I actually like that. And especially when you're in the football realm, I'm surprised. It had to be serious, and I think Joe Judge probably wanted to move on from him anyways.
When you have a common goal, we'll get to the Joe Judge wanting to move on from him anyways, because I think it connects to a larger conversation about somebody who's a lot more significant within the Giants organization, within the Giants offense. But when you're working for a common goal for something, like whether your coach is on a football team, you're working for the common goal of winning football games. When you're working on a Giants podcast, your common goal is to get more people attracted to your show. When you're working on a common goal and you both, and a lot of people care greatly about something, there's going to be altercation. So obviously, you know, we're fine with emotions getting heated, but to the point where somebody's getting fired.
JoJo's wanted to fire him before that. Like, to me, that's my, you know, obviously this isn't like sources or anything, but
these conversations are so tough because very entertaining, by the way. These conversations are very entertaining, and this is a very entertaining story to follow and kind of look at, because you can read in between the lines like you're doing right now. But these conversations are tough, and this is also my thing too, that we're not in the building and we really don't know what's going on. Yeah. You know, we were saying, oh, Andrew Thomas is improving. Good job, Mark Colombo. Good job, this. You know, we didn't know that Joe Judge was intensely working with the offensive line, but go ahead.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's, you know, like I said, that's my guess, is that Joe Judge wanted to move on from him anyways, but did the whole, hey, we'll bring in the assistant thing and at least get Googe in the building before they fired him, at least. So, I mean, that happened. So it happens. I like the move. We'll get into Googe, who he is, for a second, but I mean, let's talk about the last 3 weeks where Joe Judge has, you know, not taken over the O-line, but taken extreme focus on the O-line. Let's just start with numbers, Justin. The first 7 games, the Giants were averaging 98 rushing yards per game. The last 3, 138. Now, that you could play off to, like, hey, you go on a 3 good game, you know, good game running the ball. That happens. The difference, though, is, Justin, when you take out Daniel Jones running, which isn't really much, doesn't have a ton to do with blocking. Blocking is important on it, but it's not everything. When you take out Daniel Jones, 56 yards per game running the game the first 7 games, 110 these last 3 games, doubled it. And it's not just simply, like, it's not simply that it's, you know, like, it's scheme or anything. Like, they look better. They look better running the ball. And I think Hernandez is better than Lemieux, to be honest, and I know people don't like that, but with Lemieux, the rookie, in there, they have looked better. Honestly, and that's another thing that made me like about Judge. It's like Joe Judge can come and get this O-line and whip it in shape. I mean, I like him a lot more today than I did yesterday.
Yeah, and I even wrote in Talkin' Analytics on TalkinGiants.com. I wrote last week that against Washington, for the first time this season, this is as of Washington, the Giants had 5 explosive plays in the run game, rushing plays for at least 10 yards. However, for the first time this season out of those 3 games, Daniel Jones did not have at least 1 rushing attempt result in more than 10 yards. And that's extremely refreshing, because we have started to see how good the running game has been with centered around our running backs instead of just Daniel Jones. And then it kind of all accumulated together and came together against Philadelphia, where you saw how lethal when both parties are involved, when the quarterback's involved, when the running back's involved, when Wayne Gallman is getting yards after carry. Alfred Morris, I feel like he didn't really get a lot of opportunities, but he still did kind of well. He did have a rushing play of over 10 yards on the dot at one point. So yeah, I'm willing to put more of the, and we can have this conversation another time, off season, whatever, if you want to have it now. I'm willing to put a little bit more of good pass protection on Daniel Jones getting the ball quickly out of his hands, but there are still plays, and the eye test can't deny this.
Well, Andrew Thomas.
There are there, there still have been plays where Jones has been standing in the pocket and he's had time to throw, no matter what the numbers say.
I think Andrew Thomas, because we focus on Andrew Thomas because he's the fourth overall pick, that's an indictment that these last three games, and it hasn't been like Thomas has been doing little things, like, and it's basically with Thomas, like the Bucks games, like he protected the inside, and then this last game, like he had some bad plays this last game, it just wasn't like a disaster, but you notice when he's punching, he's not leaning over and crazy like that. And so, like, even when his footwork is screwed up, he's able to recover. So, I mean, we have seen a massive difference in Andrew Thomas the last 3 weeks versus the first 7 weeks minus the Steelers game. Like, they got a game of film against the Steelers, and there has been a massive improvement these last three games from Andrew Thomas.
Yeah.
Andrew Thomas isn't, like, he's not playing a top five left tackle. The Tampa game, he kind of did look like that, besides, like, maybe one play. But he has looked like a whole world's different. And the fact that Judge came in and did that, I mean, I think that speaks wonders about Judge, and it says a lot about Mark Colombo. And honestly, I have some takes and some guesses when we talk about Jason Garrett a little later too.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited for that Garrett conversation. But, you know, you hate to sometimes make it black and white, because I know the game of football, it's such a nuanced sport, such a complicated sport. But it's tough not to just think, you know, very black and white, because this happened, it had this result with this situation, and it's because Joe Judge started working with them, that's why they improved.
You know me. Like, I can see, sometimes there'll be a talking point, and I'm like, come on, like, we're guessing at this kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
This is one, that's when I buy into. That's when I buy into. I really do. And it makes me like Joe Judge a ton. And I think it might make me like him more with similar things later on. We'll talk about Jason Garrett later, and I know the Jason Garrett conversation is going to piss people off, but it needs to be said. Now let's talk about the new offensive line coach, Dave DeGuglielmo. Now,
Coach Googe.
I actually did a good amount of research of him before Colombo was hired, because I thought that Googe was going to be hired. Like, it seemed like he was going to go to Googe. Just going through his resume. He was with the Giants and Pat Flaherty from 2004 to 2008. He was part of that Super Bowl team, that offensive line that we love, my football heroes of David Deal, Rich Soibert, Sean O'Hara, Chris Neal, Kareem McKenzie. Those are my football heroes, and I actually posted a video where he's talking about like how those guys stuck together. So he was
even the year after the Super Bowl too, which was utterly more dominant than any other Giant team that we've seen since the 80s,
especially running the ball.
So
he was an assistant from 2004 to 2008 with Pat Flaherty. Pat Flaherty does videos here and there. I actually watch them. And he was with the Jets in 2012, the Patriots in 2014 to 15, that's where he has a connection with Joe Judge, his time there. And then the Chargers as an assistant in 16. So then in 17, he's with the Dolphins. Then he goes to the Colts to be with Josh McDaniels. Josh McDaniels backs out of the Colts thing, but he's still hired as the offensive line coach. So he stays that year. And if you remember, the Colts O-line was like, it was the offensive line of the year. Like, everyone talked about it, how Braden Smith came in and jumped in, and we'll get to some of the, like, personality stuff. But nonetheless, that offensive line was good. They move on because Frank Reich wants his own coach. And then he goes to the Dolphins this past season as an assistant again to Pat Flaherty. They fire Pat Flaherty in July and then upgrade Coach Dugs or whatever we're calling him. And then he stayed that there, and they offered him actually an extension, but apparently they couldn't come together on money, and so he moved on. So that's his career, and he's been with some good O-lines. I know you have some analytics on his O-lines. He seems to be a guy, and I'll read you some quotes from the Colts, because people were saying things about him. And sorry, let me pull it up. I have it right here. Basically what happened is Denzel Good's brother was murdered. He was a Colts offensive tackle, and then Braden Smith came in and played good, and he never got his game back. Supposedly, Coach Googe said some messed up stuff, and he's like a really snarly dude, and his personality kind of sucks, and he's just like hard to get along with. But like I said, it's hard to talk about that. But Quentin Nelson said, I'm seeing a lot of speculation talk from outsiders talking about Coach Googe. Quentin Nelson wrote on his Twitter, he is a great fundamental coach and a great person. He unified us as an offensive line and pushed us to be the best. Anything else said about him is false. And then Ryan Kelly, the center for the Colts, not the power forward for the Lakers. Not only did he bring together a room, but emphasized the importance of technique. In April, he told us physicality and fundamentals will ultimately take us as far as we want to drive the train. So he seems like a good coach, but he's just a really snarly dude.
Joe Judge, his main mantra is toughness. It's his main mantra is, you know, blue collar, get your hands dirty. The thing is, it's nice to hear Colts players, you know, say this publicly, and, you know, what else are you expected these guys to say? You know, my main thing is that, you know, we're more than halfway through the year, and, you know, it did seem that these offensive linemen really did enjoy Colombo.
Colombo was one of the guys, but that's not good as a coach, though. Like, sometimes it is, but if a coach is one of the guys, it can get, like, especially at the offensive line spot, where offensive linemen can be lazy, they can be lazy with their technique, they can want to, you know, just get through practice. I mean, I guess I'm talking from experience. Like, I've had both. I've had coaches who were, like, super nice, and I've had coaches where it's like they made practice brutal. But the coaches who made practice brutal were the ones who made me best. Like, I had coaches who they just wanted to talk about what our blocking assignments were, and coaches were like, hey, put your right, you know, when you're going left, torque your right knee in, and then the opposite, and make sure you're doing, like, those coaches get the most out of you, and that seems like what Coach Googe is. And I was watching an interview with him. He kind of says everything that this whole football team is about with Joe Judge and Patrick Graham. Versatility. He talks about cross-training. That's not something we hear. Like, that was something we kind of rolled our eyes at in the offseason, but it's true. And he says something that was interesting because you think about Nick Gates. He's like, I like to teach every guy on the team to snap a ball. Like, well, that's, and he's like, well, why would you do that? He's like, well, because you never know. And honestly, we took Nick Gates, and, you know, obviously this was before Googe was in here, who played tackle in college, played guard and tackle in the NFL, and never had snapped the ball besides 1 week of practice versus the Jets, and they move him to center. And honestly, like, he's not blowing the world away, but we feel confident with him as our center. Yeah. So
certainly probably would have been better than John Jalapio last year.
Oh, he definitely better than Jalapio. I mean, he moves guys in the run game, and he doesn't screw up. Like, he doesn't miss assignments in the pass game. He's always looking for work. There's times where he'll get beat here and there, but he's definitely better than Jalapio and Pulley.
He's been pulling a little bit too, which has been cool. You've saw there was a, I think there was a instance this week where the QB school, I watched the QB school YouTube video that he did on Jones, and he was identifying how Nick Gates was pointing out some protections, which is cool to see. You didn't see that a lot from Jalapio. So here's also a main thing that I think I didn't say this before, but it's also that just came up on top of my mind. The Giants would not have made this move if it really genuinely wasn't an improvement and an upgrade.
Right.
If this was a downward move or a sideways move, whatever the case may be, I think as grown men, Joe Judge and Mark Colombo, whatever what was said, as long as there wasn't any fist thrown, right? As grown men, they would have, made up. They would have shook hands, gave a fat little kiss during the Corolla days, and they would have moved on.
Yeah.
They would not have made this move for the betterment of the New York Football Giants if it didn't actually substantially make them better.
Like, if Freddie Kitchens did this with Judge, I don't think Freddie Kitchens is fired. If they had that argument, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And I kind of feel like we're teasing this left and right. You know, what's the difference between somebody like Freddie Kitchens and Joe Judge and Mark Colombo? What's the difference between a Patrick Graham? What's the difference between a Jerry Schuplinski and Mark Colombo and then also somebody else? I feel like we've been teasing this.
Let's get to it. But to build on your point, Googe is familiar with people in the building. I mean, O'Hara and Deal are very involved with the New York Giants. They know Googe. Jerry Schuplinski worked with him last year. Joe Judge obviously worked with him in New England. Patrick Graham, on a lesser note, did work with him in Miami last year, although, you know, the defense coordinator, O-line coach, you know, they're probably not swapping notes that often. So there is familiar. It's not like they're bringing in some stranger. So
yeah. And the Giants, just front office people in general, you know, I don't know exactly all of them like the back of my hand, but they've all been relatively the same for a very, very long time. You know, Chris Mara, everybody down from him. So they're familiar. They know him. But you still do get the feeling that this is a Joe Judge hire and not a Giants organizational hire, which is nice, which is, you know, what we want to see.
Right. Before we move on to voicemail and mailbag, which we will talk about our next point in, I just have a full page of notes. I don't want to miss anything because I spent a lot of time on this.
Yeah, I did some...
Colombo was criticized by Paul Alexander. I know people were saying, like, oh, Thomas just went back to his Georgia technique. it's not, that's actually not what it was. Like, Thomas did have some stuff, like, he couldn't just play the same way in college.
Yeah. No, the things that we talked about, and you had to be a real, you did have to be a real keen and tuned in listener to really hear this, but the things that we did talk about that Andrew Thomas did need to work on was inside moves, his punch. You know, he had a punch where you're doing the, I always had this, the stupid metaphor of the high school symbols. You're clapping the symbols instead of being efficient and straightforward with your punch on the inside. Inside moves and some of it, and a little bit of footwork. But, and we've seen the little footwork change, that was kind of all he needed for right now. Still is working on that punch and still working with allowing the inside move. So those are things that we knew that he had to do. It's just on the NFL level and unfortunately manifested in bad, bad play. Those three things that were going all wrong at the same time. So,
okay, so I missed one bullet point. You know how we were joking about Coach Judge telling the coach's room to, hey, turn that down, turn that off, would you?
Oh, yes.
Was that about Mark Colombo? And like I said from the beginning, his stupid metal music. Was that what that was about? What a stupid...
Mark Colombo's gonna have to get the band back together.
In the offseason, I was being nice and saying, I'm just not a metal music fan. Metal music is stupid, and I know I'm offending listeners, but you know what? If you're metal and you're a listener, you can handle a little criticism. You're metal. You're tough, right?
He's going to have to get the band back together. I mean, that's what's going to happen. Free Reign 2021 is going to have a 12-song album, and they will be going out on tour. They're going to be playing MetLife Stadium. Many people are saying they're going to be playing at MetLife. They're going to sell it out.
Right. All right, let's
right.
All right, let's
they may also wait, oh, one more thing. They also may be joining in the Super Bowl halftime show with The Weeknd. Some people
are
saying that too.
The Weeknd is doing the halftime show this year?
Yeah. Yeah, The Weeknd. Best known for being Selena Gomez's ex-boyfriend.
Yeah. I best known for just relaxing, you know, honest. Going to the beach.
Wow.
All right, that was a really bad dad joke.
Oh, that was terrible dad joke.
That was probably my worst dad joke of all time.
Wow. All
right, all right. All right, you know what? Steve, take it away.
Mail time. Mail time.
The mail's here. Come on.
Here's the mail, it never fails. It makes me want to wag my tail. When it comes, I want to wail.
All right. Thanks, Steve from Blue's Clues. Justin, let's get into the mail.
We have two questions from All Things Giants and Brian Perez, starting off our mailbag. When we return after the bye, what have the Giants not been doing in-game that you'd like to see them do, and what have they been doing that you'd like to see them cease doing? That's All Things Giants. And then Brian Perez at BPorris1, he asks, so is Bobby starting to come around on Jason Garrett? I went into the season thinking that this team would need 4 to 5 games to find its groove offensively. This seems to be happening.
Okay. Let's turn this into a Jason Garrett conversation and All Things Giants. We're going to answer your question, but not in like a direct, like, this is what I want to see change, this is what I don't. Now, I was a very heavy critic of Jason Garrett earlier in the season. Like, very. And you know me, like, I'm not the type that'd be like, oh, like, you know, I'm a pretty patient person. I try to realize, like, hey, I'm not smarter than the people who are doing this for a living. But I was a very heavy critic of Jason Garrett. Now, the past couple of weeks, the run game has been more diverse. And the more I think about it, and I said it on the stream last night when they were running that play where they leave the defensive end unblocked and then Lemieux pulls and block. Like, anyways. It's been more diverse, and it's been like, hey, this is like some of the simple stuff that new upcoming head coaches and coordinators are doing. And I was like, Garrett wasn't doing any of this in the first like few weeks. It was like a high school run offense, and it's changed the past few weeks, so I'll give him credit. I think Judge is putting his fingerprints on this offense.
Yeah.
And honestly, the ball in the passing game, are they really, like you mentioned, explosive plays. Are they really going downfield or anything? Or did this Eagles game, the Jones just hit every single one with perfect ball placement?
That's a good question. You may have to do a little comparison.
I mean, think about
you're
it.
You're doing a little bye week project, so you may be able to answer that question with your bye week project. Then, we keep on teasing.
I watch the QB School every week, who does a great YouTube video, and he's somebody like me Now, I don't know the game nowhere near as him, but in personality wise, where we always lean positive, you know, like I'm not going out of my way to criticize coaches and stuff. Like I always try to understand that I don't know more. He was taking shots at the Jason Garrett offense. He was taking, and he's a positive guy. He was like, I don't like this is like old school stuff. And he's like, I don't know what this curl route is and this, all these sticks. Like he was taking some shots, some subtle shots at Jason Garrett without just going at him. And you could tell he's like, I don't like this offense.
Yeah, he was talking about how, you know, you're basically running out of 12 personnel, which is two tight ends.
Just the two-man routes. We run so
Two-man routes.
We run these two-man routes and, like, with a slant. Like, a slant and a flat. It's like, they got, like, eight people covering this. And that we had sacks because of that in this past game. Where it's like, we have eight people protecting, but they're literally double covering two receivers. Anyways, it's been better the past few weeks. I actually like the Tampa game called by Jason Garrett more than any game this season. More than this, like this Eagles game, it wasn't nothing crazy. Like, I mean, really think about the big plays. It was the fade to Tate where Jones puts a perfectly placed ball. The throw to Shepard on the sideline, perfectly placed ball. The throw to Lewis where it was a pre-snap audible, perfectly placed ball. And then the big play to Darius Slayton where it wasn't a perfectly placed ball, but Slayton made a good job. And like I said, they were begging us to do that. They were begging us to do that. And then like a play or two later, we run the ball into like a 9-man front with or an 8-man front with 6 blockers.
So basically, I think you can make an argument that it's been more or less the last couple weeks, since the Tampa game, definitely against the Eagles, it's been more or less player execution as opposed to whoa, that was just such a great play call and you schemed success there. Yes. It's been more or less player execution, Daniel Jones ball placement, which is good. You know, I don't think we're going to discredit Jason Garrett because, now his players are playing good, so he's still bad, but there's a balance. If I had to put it at a percentage mark, 60% player execution, 40% Jason Garrett, it's not a 50-50 split.
Yeah, it's really been Jones running the offense better. And I get that that is some people's argument. But honestly, we need someone who is an innovator of this offense and does new things. And what Garrett does is one, it doesn't even play to Jones' strong suits of going down the field and opening up the short game. It's very like people were like saying Jones game manager. Well, that's what this offense is. That's what all this offense is. Yeah. And it's a shame that if we're doing this to this QB who likes to attack and we're turning him into this quick trigger, it's like, okay, he's running the offense better, but this isn't like franchise QB stuff. Now, the Eagles game, he did. He had those franchise QB plays, but he had to play perfect for that, you know? Because besides that, it was just stick route, quick, slant, slant.
Jones literally had a 75% completion percentage. You know, that's not, I'm telling you right now, if that type of game, you know, obviously he didn't have the touchdowns and obviously, you know, he didn't throw an interception, which is great. But I honestly don't care about the touchdown number. I don't. You know, if Wayne Gallman is going to finish the year with 10 touchdowns, it's because Daniel Jones's arm got us down the field.
The past 3 weeks get down to the goal line, we can just like, I've said the past few weeks, once we get down to the goal line, I just know that we can stuff it in, which is speaking of Judge.
And but you can't expect this. But you can't expect a 75% completion percentage every single week. Right. That 75% completion percentage, that means your quarterback is playing out of its mind. And you can't expect that every single
Daniel
week.
Daniel Jones essentially played perfect this past game, and he had a rushing touchdown. We put up 27 points. He played perfect this game, and he had a rushing touchdown, a 34-yard big play rushing touchdown. And we only put up 27 points.
So let's get to the larger point because you started to mention
it. I'm out on Garrett. I'm still out on Garrett. That's my larger point. And Jason Garrett is not Joe Judge's guy. This Colombo decision, we try to be like, hey, we're not going to speculate. We're not going to speculate on who's whose guy because it's just guessing. But this Colombo firing shows that Jason Garrett is not Joe Judge's guy and the Giants organization forced him on it.
Yep.
And honestly, bad on the – you know me. I don't hate the Mariners. Bad on the Mariners or Gettleman or whoever did that. We don't know who did it, but put Jason Garrett on Joe Judge. Bad on them. Bad on them. I don't know who the offensive coordinator would have been. I don't know if it had been Szczepanski. I don't know. I'm not saying Joe Judge would have went out and got someone good, but honestly, they trusted him with the defensive coordinator hire, and they brought their good old boy Jason Garrett back in. And I know this is going to piss people off because the offense has looked all right the past couple weeks. but has been in a game manager role for Jones. This offense has not been special the past couple weeks. And I get like, oh, well, he's figuring it out in his third year, third system. I don't, that doesn't bother me. That doesn't bother me. You know what? It was good for the Browns to bring in a new offense in Baker Mayfield's third year. A good offensive coordinator could come in and do stuff. And I heard that excuse with James Betcher last year. It's like, oh, it's too complicated. You know, they're still learning. Well, guess what? Patrick Graham came in here with no offseason, no preseason, and installed his defense. And it's pretty, it's very unique and different. And, but he did it in a simpler way. And they're outperforming their talent. So I know this is going to piss people off, but I just can't hold it in. I'm out on Jason Garrett. And honestly, Joe Judge is going to fire him. Joe Judge will fire him at the end of the year. Unless this offense plays out of its mind at the end of the year, I would be if we play the same way throughout the year, there's no way Jason Garrett. I mean, unless every game looks like this past week where Jones looks perfect, I don't know. Maybe I'm going a little too far. Maybe that last 30 seconds too far.
I think the last 30 seconds you're going a little too far.
Passionate.
But let me say
I'm passionate about this.
I know. Let's regroup. It all goes back to that report that Ian Rappaport had, whether it was 2013, 2014. Remember there was a game where we lost against the Jacksonville Jaguars. We didn't score a single point.
We didn't score a point? I thought we did score in that game.
Maybe we scored three. It inevitably was a shutout. And it was a bad, bad loss in Jacksonville. And I don't think it was 2015. I think it was 2013, 2014. I could be wrong. It could be 2015. Because that's the year that Coughlin was pseudo-retired, pseudo-fired.
We played the AFC South in 2018. So it was 2014.
2014. Okay, good on me. So if Jason Garrett was fired from the Dallas Cowboys, according to Ian Rappaport, and that's one of the people that you do trust, if Jason Garrett was let go from the Dallas Cowboys in 2014 and they did not, and the Cowboys did not extend him, it was very likely that Jason Garrett was going to be the next coach of the Giants. John Mara has loved him for a very, very long time, has loved him for years. And finally, you know, now that finally, you know, the marriage ended between the Cowboys and Jason Garrett, the relationship was able to happen. And it luckily didn't happen as a head coach, but we were saying, woof, thank God this guy isn't our head coach and he's our offensive coordinator. So I really do think, and the context is there, the table is set to really say that this was a Mara hiring and bringing in. Now here's my thing. If the Giants do somehow sneak into the playoffs, which I will tell you what, it's more than 20% likely. I know some ESPN analytics projections are saying it's 60% Eagles, 20% Giants, combined 20% everyone else. I think it's more than 20% likely that the Giants are going to make the playoffs, because I do think that they can squeeze out three wins and they could surprise against either Baltimore or Seattle. Now, it's a matter of can they win the games they are expected to win? That's another question. But if they continue on the same path and if they somehow win their division, Jason Garrett will be back. If they don't, then a lot of people could be gone.
Joe Judge just fired Mark Colombo after two straight wins. And honestly, it should have been three straight wins versus the Bucs.
But if we do make the playoffs, it's because the offense has continued to perform somewhat well. And I think you can spin it as, and Joe Judge may not.
Maybe.
And if Joe Judge does this, and let's go of
Garrett.
I love
Joe Judge now.
That would very much surprise me. But, you know, they could spin it as weird offseason, no offseason, limited training camp, Daniel Jones, new offense. We don't want him to go into a third offense for a third straight year. You gave a compelling argument as to why that doesn't matter, but it matters. But
it matters
it
a little bit,
does
but it's not,
not
like it's yeah. not the end all be all.
But they could spin it if they really want to say, you know, now that we have a full season, now that he has, you know, all of the, you know, all everything in front of him, who's to say, Bobby? Who's to say that, and this is wild, who's to say that Daniel Jones can't develop into an above average quarterback, very similar to Tony Romo, playing in a bad system,
but Tony Romo was the OC for that offense.
But because of the familiarity with the system and the repetition, who's to say that Daniel Jones cannot become an above average quarterback with being in a system that may be lackluster, but if he can master it?
I think he can. So I guess that is the other argument. Because I do think, and I think Jones is, I believe in Jones. I'm sorry. I know people are like, oh, he doesn't throw 90 yards like Patrick Mahomes. I believe in Jones. And honestly, the biggest thing I believe in him, besides the accuracy and the ballsiness, is the work ethic and the brain between his ears. That's why I believe in him. That's why when people are like, oh, doesn't have the it. I think that's the it. That's the it more than Joe Burrow smoking a cigar after a national championship game. I think that's the it factor. And Jones is starting to get this offense better. So I could see a situation. But here's my larger point. And let me back off of the Joe Judge will fire Jason Garrett after the year. And I'm just getting passionate. Here's where I will say. I wasn't all in on Joe Judge. We talked in previous episodes about, hey, like if they fire Gettleman, I don't care if they fire Joe Judge too. I want the new GM to do what they do. I'm all in on Joe Judge. I believe in Joe Judge. I believe in the Joe Judge way. He's the one who brought in Patrick Graham and allows Patrick Graham to do his stuff. The stuff he's been doing with the offensive line the past 3 weeks, I'm in on Joe Judge. I am in on Joe Judge. It went from me liking Joe Judge to I'm in on him. And honestly, I'm in on him because I think he will make the right decision with Garrett, whatever that is at the end of the year. That's what I'll say.
Yeah, right now, and we're going to talk about it over the bye week, so I need to think of some takes, and I need to really flesh out some things in my brain. But right now, I'm so invested in winning football games, and I don't care what the record is. I don't care what the record is. I don't care, if it's 3-7, I care about the NFC East. I care about the NFC East standings. I care about that the Giants have just won 2 divisional games in a row, which they haven't done in a very long time. Can't tell you since they've done that, but it's been probably a very long time since they won 2 football games in a row when they actually matter. And I could care less about the circumstances around them. Right. Just talk to me. The last time that I was emotionally invested in the Giants winning football games in November and December was 2016. And then before that, 2015?
2015 it was just 2015, I thought we were going to win that division like late November.
Yeah, because it was that was just, but it was still just a disaster of a year where they couldn't finish football games. And that is the sign. That is the sign that I think I'm all in on Judge as well, because he's gotten the team at a point where we are talking in the middle of November, we want to win football games instead of, okay, who are we taking at number 4?
Yeah, and honestly, to finish off, Jason Garrett's stuff is still vanilla. I said it the Washington game. I said I'll play the results and be happy with the win, but it was the same basic ass stuff, dude. I mean, it's like the plays he runs you see on Madden. Now I get you. Madden is based off reality a little bit. Anyways, let's move on though.
One final thing about Garrett. I don't blame you if the normal person, and we are the insane people here, that I look at. Every single week, I look at explosive play data. I compare it to the rest of the league. Bobby is looking at routes run every single week and tracking if guys are running more than if you have more than 2 guys that are running more than 15 yards down the field. We're the crazy people, so I can very much understand why the average person could look at like, oh, we're winning, we're moving the ball a little bit more, we're sustaining drives, blah 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 blah. Why are you guys so hard on Garrett? But trust us that. We are doing the work and we're seeing like, hey, this is still not good and it can be so much better. Trust us with whatever kind of feeling you want to trust us with, even though we're not experts. Right. So there all you right. go.
Voicemail. We're going to have to, we're going to have to go kind of quick through these guys. Sorry, but there's just so much news. We have to go quick through this. First voicemail though is from our day one supporter, Isaac Moretta.
What's up, Bobby and Justin? It's your boy, Isaac Moretta. First time I actually called you guys. Just wanted to check in, see how you guys are feeling going into the bye week. Really, the only question I had is coming up in this game against the Bengals, Daniel Jones has actually been improving, quite a bit in the last couple weeks. So, what are you guys looking for him to build on it? Is it just more of the same ball security, accurate throws, or are you looking at him to actually get the ball in the end zone more often? Can't wait to hear from you guys. Go Giants.
All right, so thank you, Isaac, for calling in. Like, Isaac's one of my favorites. He's been a day one supporter. I'm glad he's still supporting.
Bring back the robe, Isaac, the king robe. You got to bring it back.
Isaac's one of those guys where it's like, you definitely have supporters, but it's like I know me and Isaac would end up in jail if we hung out for a night. All right, And that's like, that sounds really offensive to Isaac, but I think he takes it as a compliment. All right. So what am I saying? Oh, what was the question? Here's my thing. We talked about it on Monday's episode. Jones has cut the fumbles in half, literally in half. The interceptions are about the same rate, but, you know, on a per game, a little less. I want to see him continue to be aggressive. The pre-snap stuff, like I did a breakdown of that throw to Deion Lewis, and I was so impressed with the pre-snap stuff more than the throw. Continue to know when to audible, the pre-snap stuff. That's the stuff I like out of, I need to see out of Jones. And just stay aggressive. Stay aggressive. Like I said, not all turnovers are equal. The turnovers against the Bucs are not the same against the turnovers against the Steelers. So I can live with turnovers, but don't have the Tampa Bay Bucs turnovers. Have the Pittsburgh, the whole game relies on you making a play. Like when people say like, oh, you don't have to make every play. In that Pittsburgh game, he kind of did have to make every play. Like that's what got us down that field on that interception. Him having that mindset of I need to make the play. So picking and choosing his battles. And like I said, not every turnover is the same.
Yeah. I don't mind having games like Washington, to be honest, because, you know, there are going to be games where quarterbacks, their numbers are going to be called upon that you're going to have to be a stud and you're going to have to win the game. But I also don't mind if there are games where it's just defense takes care of business and you do enough to get the W. Don't cost the team. Don't take bad sacks. Have the pocket mobility. Use your legs. Expand plays. Continue to be aggressive. Those are my little keys.
All right, next voicemail, we got Liam.
Hey, guys. It's Liam here calling from Chesterfield, New Jersey. I'm in my house right now. I actually just subscribed on Patreon, so I'll be able to watch the podcast live now.
Woo-hoo!
I just want to talk about Andrew Thomas real quick and how far I think he's come the last 3 weeks. A lot of people doubted this guy, thought he was a bust, and I don't know how you could say that after just 6 games, but that's what they were saying. And in the last 3 games, he's played a lot better. I don't know. I just think he has a lot of upside. Look at this dude. He has great footwork. He has a great first punch. He has great balance. And he's also dominant in the run game. Big, athletic, strong. I don't know. I like Andrew Thomas a lot. And I think the biggest thing right now for him is his confidence, right? 3 games in a row, he's played a lot better. That's huge for his confidence. Now I think he's going to go out there a lot more confident. And he hasn't just played better against nobodies. He's played a lot better against 3 good defenses. So that's it. Enjoy your day, guys.
All right. Thank you, Liam. And I'm sorry I'm like taking the lead on everything, but I'm an Andrew Thomas guy. Those games where he was bad, it was a mess. Like footwork, punch, everything. Now, the past 3 games have been good, been solid. You know, the Eagles game, like you don't watch the Eagles game and you're like feeling great about Thomas, but it was a good game, especially a team he struggled against so badly in that Thursday night game. And I had this observation is that he's not perfect. Like there was some bad footwork versus the Eagles, but I noticed, and this is nerdy, but when he was punching, he wasn't leaning over. So even like when he would like have bad footwork, because he wasn't like leaning in his punch, he was able to recover on some plays. So, I mean, he's definitely improving. We talked about it a ton in the beginning of the show with the last 3 weeks with Judge, but he's definitely improving. He's still a beast and dominant in the run game. And so, yeah, I feel good about it. And like Liam said, the confidence for these last 3 games has to do wonders for him.
We said it when he was coming out of college at Georgia. He may not always look the best and look the prettiest, but he faced the toughest competition, and he had the best production. In these last few weeks, you can make an argument he hasn't faced as tough as competition as he did during the beginning of the season. I mean, Chase Young, JPP, versus Khalil Mack, Bud Dupree, and all those guys. In comparison, it was not as bad competition-wise. But we said it in Georgia. Didn't always look pretty, but he always got the job done. Next mailbag question is from Mr. Brownstone. Domino's, Pizza Hut, Papa John's, or the Mecca of Mayhem, Little Caesars? ?
Now, I feel like I'm like legally required to say Little Caesars because of that whole thing. I like Pizza Hut out of those. What about you?
Yeah, I'm a Pizza Hut guy. The cheese stuffed crust. Oh.
I have a question. Is Joe Judge listening to the Talking Giants podcast?
You know what? There was a soundbite that Mr. Brownstone tagged us in today.
Little Caesar's Pizza Bowl thing, and you know, go back home for Christmas and stuff. But You know, go get a Little Caesars Pizza Bowl thing and, go back home for Christmas.
There's no way he mentions Little Caesars just randomly. He's a listener to the podcast. That's the only logical reasoning you can have with that.
There's been Little Caesars that have been near me in New Jersey. Now, it's also not fair. It's very tough to have a chain pizza place in New Jersey just because of how much good pizza there is, local pizzerias that there is in New Jersey. But every time a Little Caesars has opened up in New Jersey, it's shut down almost immediately. Like the day after, it shuts down because they get no business. So it's very odd for Joe Judge to mention Little Caesars. Like, out of all the pizza chains, Domino's.
Can I tell another Little Caesars story?
No, we have no time.
This is a good one, though. This is a good one.
We need to save it.
It's a real quick Little Caesars story.
All right, you have 30 seconds.
So when I was 16 and got my license and my brother was 13, every day on the way home from school, we would go past the Little Caesars and there's a guy holding the sign that said $5 hot and ready. And we were mean. I'm not encouraging this and saying this was good. But every day we'd drive by and yell, "Your mom's $5 hot and ready. Your mom's $5 hot."
Ooh.
And,
Good. Your
today's climate,
joke.
I wouldn't do that because I would just be like, I'm going to turn this guy into a, a shooter. I hate bullying. I think, as I've grown up, I think bullying is one of the worst things in the world. Like, I can't stand bullies. In real life, on the football field, I love bullies.
Is that not a little hypocritical coming from you?
What do you mean?
Some people may say that you are a bully yourself.
To who? Be honest.
It's a good question. It's a good question.
I can be mean, but I'm not a bully,
Oh, okay.
There's a difference between being mean and being a bully.
There's nothing wrong with the good yo mama joke.
Yeah. But, I mean, we did it, like, every day for, nothing like, 3 weeks straight.
Oh, okay. That's tough. That's tough. All right. We have a voicemail and then a NYG Life at Life NYG mailbag question.
The voicemail.
Let's go Giants. Bobby, Justin, it's Eric in Naples. I was the one who left you a message last week about how bad we've been against the Eagles. Of course, we all know this anyway. I am at my house in Naples, Florida. I had to take an Uber ride home because I got trashed at the fourth bar with my Giants compadres. And what a win. What a win. Look what happens when we don't turn the ball over and when we play sound football. I will take that every day of the week. One thing that was incredible was I think Slayton had the quietest 93-yard receiving game I've ever seen, but we probably needed every yard of it. We established the run in the first quarter, which was huge.
Established the run.
Defense, led by Patrick Graham and James Bradbury and Blake Martinez and Leonard Williams, tough all day long. Go G-men, fuck the Eagles.
Oh, I didn't realize that was in there.
Whoa, Eric in Naples.
Cincinnati.
I was about to say, that was one of the best voicemail. It still is.
He calls
I think
an hour
the F
after
the
every
Eagles
game.
Was a nice touch.
So he's hyped up from the game, and it's just like...
But that was one of the reason why that was one of the best voicemails we ever received is because I'm pretty sure he was still trashed.
Oh, yeah. He calls an hour after every game. Like, that's his... That's Eric in Naples, like, calling card.
Oh, my God. You asked Snacks to call an hour after a football game, and he's trashed. I mean, it's bad. Snacks got a concussion because he fell off his bed in the middle of the night because of how trashed
pizza.
He was.
yeah. And I spent all that time bleeping out the intro for that. Come on, Eric. It's all love, though, baby. All right, and what's the mailbag?
The mailbag is a 2-win streak going into the bye. How y'all feeling? Run the table in all caps and make the playoffs, or y'all just hoping to see improvement week to week? NYG Life asked that question. Bobby, run the table.
I'm
run
all
the
in.
Table, make the playoffs. And you know what? I did something terrible this week. I did something terrible. These are the following teams that are in wild card contention right now. I have to replace the Bears. The Bears are still in wild card contention. Maybe join the Vikings. The Vikings are now joining the party. But, the Seahawks, the Rams, and the Buccaneers are three teams that are very heavily in wild card contention. And the NFC West is a toss-up right now. But, Bobby, you're telling me that if we were to play one of those teams, I don't know how they're doing the playoffs, if the division winner is automatically getting a home playoff game, but regardless of where it's at, if there's going to be no fans in the stands, you don't think if we got a chance at one of those teams again that you wouldn't have faith that they can get it done?
I want the Bucs and I want Tom Brady so badly. I want them so badly. We will win that game. We will win that game, and then we'll go and win the Super Bowl. All right. Next question from Tim Coffey, leader of the Gallmanites.
This is Tim Coffey calling from Raleigh, North Kakalaki, and I'm currently in my fourth grade classroom where I teach young students to like the New York Giants.
It's crazy that Tim's a fourth grade teacher.
Three quick questions. One, why is Alfred Morris stealing carries from Gallmanite Nation? Two, do you think that Gettleman, are you reconsidering Gettleman losing his job now that the working relationship between him and Judge is clearly amazing? And three, can you change the intro music to Friday's podcast because it sucks? I love you guys.
You suck, Tim Coffey.
Wow.
You suck.
The intro to Fridays, which is...
Let's go to war. It's a staple. What? Let's go to war.
Oh, that's wonderful. I love...
Maybe I'll add my, you know, because, you know, like, last year I did a little more often. This year, like, it's kind of corny, but I did it for week one. Like, I put my intro before the Let's Go to War. Maybe, I mean, it's really corny. So...
I think it's good for week one.
So, the Gettleman question, we're actually going to do, and I guess this is a way to plug that, Monday for our bi-week episodes, we are doing ourselves, Chris the Entertainer, and then Mike Too Nice, who Mike Too Nice is a critic. I can't wait to talk to him about what we're going to do on individual episodes. On our episode, we're going to do Daniel Jones and one other topic. On Mike's episode, we're going to do Joe Judge and one other topic. And on Entertainer, Chris, we're going to do Dave Gelman and one other topic. So we're going to deep dive into that. So we'll ignore that question.
I also kind of want to talk about Thanksgiving takes too, if we have the time.
Today?
No. With Mike and the Entertainer. Okay. I want to talk about some Thanksgiving takes.
Are we
going
to record
on Thanksgiving? I got nothing going on.
We'll see. Thanksgiving is canceled this year. You didn't hear? All right.
Yeah, that's why I got nothing going on.
The question. I actually like what they're doing. I think they're spelling their running backs like really well. Like Morris is coming in. He's getting his two series, and he's getting, you know, 4 to 5 yards per carry. He's getting big plays. I think they're using the running backs perfectly, honestly.
Daniel Jones is taking away carries from Wayne Gallman. That's who he's taking carries away from.
That's true. That's when they're really, like, using the read option is with Jones.
Yeah. And
that's where some of the really good run schemes were. Where it's like, and QB School did a good job breaking it down, too. I know I plug him like crazy, but you know what? He only breaks down the Giants, like, twice a year. So I'm not worried about losing viewers. So... Yeah, I think they're using
the
running back.
It's strange
really well.
It's strange how they've been using Alfred Morris mainly out of the shotgun. Like you would think, it's like a reversal of roles where, you know, Alfred. I guess maybe Alfred Morris is seeing less 8-man boxes because Wayne Gallman actually is seeing 8-man boxes at almost the 30% rate of his carries, which is kind of bananas. But he's been really efficient and he's not spending a lot of time behind the line of scrimmage. I'm writing and talking analytics this week. I'm all in Wayne Gallman. I have a bunch of metrics, bunch of stats, bunch of things I'm going to bring up. I'm all in. I looked at more numbers. So
we got some comments of people being like, Bobby, how can you not like Wayne Gallman? It's like, we're having fun with the Gallmanite stuff.
I'm going to try to convince you. You're going to retalk in analytics this week. And I think
after the Cincinnati game, there's a good chance I'll end up being a Gallmanite. Yeah. We'll see.
All right.
Next mailbag question.
Tau Zeno at Red Yeti 9. What are you guys most happy about over the past week? Giants signing a broth native Graham Gano to an extension or Scotland qualifying for our first major tournament since the 98 World Cup in France? Wild question.
I'm excited to see Scotland in the Euro Cup. That'll be interesting. I always love seeing the new teams in the Euro Cup. I get into the cups for soccer, like, you know, the Copa de America and Euro Cup I watch, and then the World Cup. Besides that, I just don't get into it too much.
I'm rooting for our Scottish fan base because we seem like we have a decent amount of listeners.
That's
there,
what
so
we're gonna
cool.
do. The next World Cup, obviously, we'll be rooting for America. We'll have our international listeners like lobby for our fandom, and you guys, next World Cup, you guys need to start doing it now, getting in our mentions. Spain probably is leading the way right now, I'll just be honest, but Brazil with Ronaldo, you know, we got Scotland, we got the, you know, so
Gazman.
Start lobbying now. And we will pit the entire Talking Giants force behind them, especially if America doesn't qualify. Like they didn't last time, which America should just have an automatic bid anyways. So, it is what it is. All right. Graham Gano got COVID, though. He mentioned that.
No, he did get the Corolla, unfortunately.
Got an extension and then got COVID.
You know what? Wouldn't blame him if he wanted to go out and have a good time. You know?
How dare you?
Wouldn't blame him. Got a lot of money.
Yeah. 3 years, 14 mil, 9.5 guaranteed. I'm through 2023. When you look at the 9.5 guaranteed, I would assume that the first 2 years are guaranteed and the third year is not. I mean, that's the way, you know, if you look at it, that's what makes sense. Is first 2 years guaranteed, third year not.
Yes. Next mailbag. Paul Nunez.
Uh-oh, you're going to get in trouble when you finish this question.
Do you think Crowder can fill the middle linebacker 2 spot for the future? I'm tired of hearing Micah Parsons stuff. By the way, my name is pronounced Nonis, not Nunez. I didn't say Nunez. I said Nunez.
But you said Nunez.
Nonis. I'm a have to go Little Caesars on you. I'm sorry, Paul Nunez. I'm very sorry. It's funny how that timing worked out. Do you think Crowder could still fill the middle linebacker 2 spot for the future? He's tired of Micah Parsons.
I agree. I don't think drafting Micah Parsons would be smart when you have Blake Martinez there. And you, like the inside linebacker 2 spot, like I feel like it's a good spot to like just put an athlete who's, you know, aggressive like Tate Crowder. So I think Tate Crowder could be it. Although Tate Crowder's not good enough for me to shy away from my guy Chaz Surratt in the second or third round of the draft if he's there.
Ooh. I'd be down for that.
But yeah, I'm excited to see what Tate Crowder is back. I will say, as somebody who loved Tate Crowder, that Washington game, his open field angles were brutal. I was like, oh my, like, okay, this is maybe why you fell a little bit. Like, those open field angles were brutal. But you can...
Hey, he's rough.
Yeah, exactly. He's a former, like, he was a running back at the start college. So that's stuff you can work on. What you can't work on is being fast and aggressive and having good instincts. Right. And Tate Crowder
You're also just a big fan of guys who convert and change positions.
Especially to linebacker.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, we have a voicemail.
Do we? Oh, here we go.
Hey, guys. It's Victor from Reading, PA. So, first of all, huge win against the Eagles. I live in Southeast PA, so nothing but Eagles fans around me. Finally, good to get one against them. So, my question for you guys is, do you think that this game against the Eagles, this win, first time winning in 4 years, turns the Giants franchise around? I think that they have potential and they're moving in the right direction. If we can get a big win against the Bengals, putting 3 wins in a row, that's huge. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, I know we paired this with the mailbag, but we'll answer separately. I don't think one win turns your franchise around, but I think Joe Judge is turning the franchise around. So that'll be my take on that.
Yes. Yes, I 100% agree. We will beat Cincinnati, and we will either beat Seattle or Baltimore.
I don't think we're beating Seattle or Baltimore. I think we're beating Arizona. I think Patrick Graham's going to have something for Kyler and James Bradbury. If he can just do halfway average against Hopkins, Hopkins is their offense. Like, people don't realize how – well, I guess they do, I mean, with that Hail Mary. Kyler relies on Hopkins big time. So I think Arizona's the most beatable out of those 3 for the Giants.
Oh, that's going to be such a fun – hopefully it will be fun for us. That's going to be such a fun – matchup to see Bradbury Hopkins. It's going to be Hopkins is the best receiver in the league. It's going to be the best receiver that he's going to go up against this year.
And he played well against Hopkins last year too.
Oh, they played each other. Jeez, I feel like that's right. I feel like Bradbury's played like every big time wide receiver.
And he's done well against them all too.
Yeah. All right, so that's good. So KG asks us this. He asks like kind of 2 questions here in 2 different tweets. Where was this O-line performance when Saquon was still around? Can only imagine some of the runs he would have had these past 2 weeks. Sad face. He put the sad face. Also, how extra devastating is that Engram Philly drop? Now that we're a half game out, we'd be in the driver's seat for the NFC East with that catch. Another sad face. That's why I also have confidence, like, heading forward. It's that we were all these kind of freak things. The Evan Engram drop was the freakiest thing that resulted in a loss this year.
I think about how much life would be different if Evan Engram doesn't drop that pass.
You know, but I think the fact that we just played Tampa Bay so well, that was, you know, you could go back to that reaction pod and, you know, Bobby was pretty negative because, you know, we were holding Jones accountable as he should. But overall, you know, I just got the feeling from the Tampa game that you don't play a team like this well and not actually improve instead of just, you know, playing somewhat well but still losing the game at the end. They played him very, very, very well. So that's what really kind of got me to turn around. We have one more mailbag question. This is going to be coming from Daniel King, the king of the Daniels.
Dumb Danny.
If you had to bet who wins in a fight, are you betting on Columbo or Judge? This is a great question because Columbo has the heavy metal background, and I genuinely think that heavy metal people are insane, like absolutely insane people. Columbo has tried to fight Brandon Jacobs, but Joe Judge also has boxing experience.
I know we're... Actually, you know what? Joe Judge will whoop his ass. How about that? Joe Judge. Hey, Joe Judge.
It's like,
I'm
like
all
Tyson.
In on Joe Judge as Joe Judge.
It's like Tyson. You know, even because Columbo's 6'8", but Judge is going to use the lack of size to his advantage. You know, get inside, hit, you know, go, you know, hit low, and
that's the best spot.
That's how he's
going to
win.
Right under the jaw. And yeah. You can't do that when you're 6'8".
The body as a Mickey, Rocky's trainer, just in case you didn't know him. The body. Break his ribs.
So I'm going Joe Judge. How about that? And he's from Philly, so you know he's like scummy and scrappy.
Yeah.
So I'm going Joe Judge.
Rocky V, just fight in the street.
So is that the episode?
That's it. We're done.
All right. So we did decent timing. I know I'm going to get a ton of tweets about how Jason Garrett is turning around. I guess I will take that on the chin. I'll take that on the chin like a Joe Judge punch to Mark Colombo.
This has never been, you know, there's a little preview to maybe how I'm going to preface our Mike and the Entertainer episode. I usually hate having to take wait and see. Because you know me, like, you know, I think that's boring. I think as a content creator, and if we just had an episode where Bobby and I were just saying, oh, you just have to wait and see.
We're going to do that.
This podcast wouldn't be an hour and 10 minutes long today. It wouldn't. So that's not how we try to preface our takes. You know, we try to be critical when it's necessary, then, you know, praise when it's necessary as well. We try to be fans and passionate. But there has never been more of a we have to wait and see time in Giants land in a very long time. Because we're waiting to see about Jones. We're waiting to see what other crazy things Judge and Graham and whoever could come up with. We're waiting to see about Garrett if we can continue to be aggressive. And then, therefore, all of, you know, the umbrella over all of it, or who's holding the umbrella, technically, is Dave Gettleman. Which is, there's so much, like, there's so many things riding on these final six games. It's nuts.
I love it. I love it. I love important football. And I love the NBA draft. So we're 5 minutes away. So let's end the episode. Appreciate you guys. I know this is an important episode. You know, this was supposed to be like a laid-back, bi-week voicemail. And this is a very important episode, and I give a lot of credit to Joe Judge for making this decision. Columbo obviously made it a little easier on him by acting like he's high on cocaine. But anyways, appreciate it. We'll see you guys on Monday. Three different episodes from us, Entertainer, and Mike Tuna. Those will only be on YouTube for those two, but obviously you'll have us in the podcast app. So appreciate you guys. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy some football. And let's go Big Blue.